And good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome you to the service this morning at St. John's Presbyterian Church. Thank you for coming out and braving this cold weather that we're experiencing. It's good to have you all here. It is with deep sadness that I share the sudden passing of Benjamin Woods Chisholm, son of one of our elders, Sarah Jane Woods and Paul Chisholm. As a child, Benjamin was part of our Christmas pageants and showed a keen interest in our technology. The funeral will be held here at St. John's on Saturday, March 8th at 11 a.m. The Reverend Ian McMillan will be performing the service in Reverend Adam's absence. We would also ask that you keep Sarah Jane in your prayers on the loss of her mother as well on February 23rd. And after a courageous battle with cancer, we mourn the loss of longtime member Myrna Esdale. Myrna's commitment and dedication to St. John's was demonstrated through her eldership and the committees she worked with, as well as her unwavering loyalty to our women of the church. Her funeral will be held on Wednesday, March 5th, at 11 a.m. at Wilson's Funeral Home. We keep the family and friends of Benjamin and Myrna in our prayers. On a more positive note, it is my pleasure to welcome Donna McElveen to our pulpit today. Donna is no stranger to St. John's, and we appreciate her words when she has been with us in the past. Donna is not only an active member in her own church, but she has been a steady force as Clerk of Presbytery for many years. We are happy to have you with us this morning, Donna. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia. And again, it's a pleasure to be here, worshiping with you here in God's house on this cold day, but it's always good to be together. I will light the Christ candle, and we light this candle, and I can't do two things at once, which is talk and light a candle, so I'm going to just say, we will light the candle, for it is a reminder to us that this is a representation of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And that light reminds us that we do not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. So let us light the candle. Your call to worship will be found on the screen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the name of Jesus Christ, God's chosen, we are called to worship this day.
We are called to worship in wonder and praise.
We are called to listen to God and to be transformed by God's word.
In the power of the Holy Spirit, we are strengthened to proclaim God's glory.
It is good for us to be here. Let us worship God this day. Let us come before the Lord our God in prayer. O most holy God, we come before you in worship this day, and we come before you to dwell here in your house, in your goodness, to bask in your light, to offer you the praise that you deserve. It is with reverence and adoring love that we acclaim your glory and sing your praise, for you have shown us your truth and love in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Help us to see Jesus more clearly as we gather in his name and through him to find our way to living faithfully as your children. Shine the light of your love in our hearts so we may be transformed and live in your light this day and always. In the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn, I invite you to sing, and you'll find the words up on the screen, or it's at number 290, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you.
Please be seated. It is with humility that we pray, and as we just sang a hymn of praise, we come together before God, and part of our coming together is to include a prayer of confession, for we know that our God, who we just sang, is immortal, invisible, and wise, hears our prayers. So let us confess our sin before God and seek God's transforming mercy and grace. You'll find the words there on the screen. So let us pray. O most holy God, on this Transfiguration Sunday, when we remember your call to listen to your Son Jesus, we confess our struggles to do just that. We are reluctant to hear your word, which challenges us. We struggle to stay on your path of love. You speak, but we fail to listen. You guide, but we fail to follow. You move, but we remain stuck and stagnant. Forgive us and free us from all that keeps us back from you. Cleanse our minds and hearts and transfigure us by your grace to be the disciples who follow Christ leading each day, reflecting the light and love of Jesus Christ in all we do. In the precious name of Jesus, God's chosen, we pray. Amen. People of God, hear once more the good news of the gospel. We worship a God who is a forgiving God, whose mercy is never ending, whose heart abounds in steadfast love. Because of the love of Jesus Christ, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, know that you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Let's lift up our hearts once more in praise, and I invite you to sing along to Lord, the light of your love is shining.
Light of the world, shine upon us, set us
Well, I see a couple of people right in front of me, and I'm not sure whether you want to be able to, you want to come up to the front? Are you willing to come up to the front? Come on up. Hello, hello, hello. Now, what's your name?
Ainsley.
Ainsley, and?
Willem.
Say that again.
Willem.
William?
Willem.
Willem.
Yes.
Willem. I think that's a Welsh name. Very good. Willem and Ainsley. Ainsley and Willem. Well, nice to meet you, Ainsley and Willem. My name is Donna, and I'm so glad that you are here in worship this day. We just sang that hymn, which is a lively hymn that talks about shining and let the light of Jesus, the light that is Jesus, shine within us. It's kind of like a prayer where we ask Jesus to shine in us, for that light to shine out of us as we live. Today is a special day because it's called Transfiguration Sunday. That's a big word, transfiguration, but it means to be changed. And it's a story about Jesus that happened a long time ago. Jesus went up a mountain with three of his disciples, and they went to pray. While they were up there on the mountain praying, Jesus' appearance changed. We don't know how. It's a bit of a mystery, but it's an awesome, wondrous mystery. Jesus' face changed, and his clothes changed as well and became bright. Some places say that bright as a flash of lightning. Bright, really, really bright. So that was pretty awesome. Jesus himself was the same, but his appearance changed. The disciples were there going, imagine the look on their faces, eh? They're, what's going on? So we got this appearance change. And then two other people appeared. Apparently, they didn't know where or how, but they came, Moses and Elijah, and they started speaking to Jesus. So the disciples were watching all this and amazed and wonder. They don't understand. And then a cloud. A cloud came and covered the whole mountain. And from that cloud came a voice. Any idea who the voice might be? Exactly. The voice was God's voice. Exactly. It was God's voice. And God said to those that were watching, the disciples, God said, this is my son. So there's Jesus. This is my son. He's my chosen. And he said, listen to him. Listen to him. Good advice, right? Listen to Jesus. So today we have this wonderful story about shining, a brightness, and of God's voice telling us to listen to him. So each day we need to remember that part of the story about how God told us to listen to him, to listen to Jesus, to follow Jesus, to let the light of Jesus shine within us. So as I was thinking about that, you know, I was thinking, what can we do so that others know that Jesus' light is shining in us and that we are listening? You know, one of the best ways, and it's a very contagious thing to do, and I saw you guys doing it before you came up, and you're still doing it now, and that's to smile, right? To smile, because when you're smiling and that you are showing that you have a smile on your face, that you're full of that light and that love. So I want to leave a challenge with you today. I want you to smile at somebody, and I know it won't be a hard challenge to fill. And we'll keep that challenge not just to ourselves, but give that challenge to everybody, for everybody else to smile as well. So I'm not sure if you're going to Sunday school, whatever you're doing next, we'll have a little prayer. But when you leave, I want you to walk by somebody and flash a smile at them. Can you do that? Let me see a big smile on your face. Let's see your big smile. Oh, you're hiding. Oh, but you can do it. I know you can do it. So that's your challenge, to not just keep that smile inside of you, but to share it with somebody. So walk, just smile at them. And that smile is contagious. Oh, I think he's already on the mission. So you keep an eye on him. Make sure you guys smile back. There's Willem. And one you can go to, Ainsley. you can go with which way you would like to go. So they're going to be, so keep an eye on them. Lots of smiles in response. Perfect. So all of you, remember that challenge that when you have the love that comes from God through his son, Jesus Christ, in your heart, to let that light shine forth. Don't forget to listen and to help others know that the love of God can really indeed change us. And it is a contagious thing that we can do. So I encourage you all to keep smiling. Now we're going to continue in our worship, and we are going to sing our prayer of illumination, which I understand you have been singing over the last few weeks, and it is over my head, and the words will be up there on the screen.
Good morning, everybody. I hope your morning is going good. I have two scriptures for you today. The first one is called Moses' Face Shone, and it's taken from Exodus chapter 34, reading verses 29 to 35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining. They were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out, and when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. And I have another one, Psalm 99, and it's called Worship Upon God's Holy Hill. This one will be responsive, and the words will be on the screen. The Lord is King. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake.
The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples.
Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he.
Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Extol the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he.
Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called on his name. They cried to the Lord, and he answered them.
He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his decrees and the statutes that he gave them.
O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings.
Extol the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy.
Let's continue worshiping as we lift up praise once more, and I invite you to stand if you're able to sing. The words are found at 187 or on the screen as well. The tune is different if you're following along the book of praise, but the tune is very familiar. We have come at Christ's own bidding. On this Transfiguration Sunday, we read the account recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke, and it's found in chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. The story, similar in all three, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in those Gospels, the story is recorded, slight differences, but each of the stories is a story of light and wonder and a reminder to us to listen. So hear and listen to these words from the Lord. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking about his exodus, which he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but as they awoke, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. And while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent. And in those days told no one any of the things that they had seen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable and joyful in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You'll see there on the screen the title of today's message, Listening is Where Love Begins. It's a quote attributed to the late Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And you can find it in his book, The World According to Mr. Rogers, Important Things to Remember. And on this Transfiguration Sunday, when the gospel story is one that is so full of mystery and awe, we are given the basic instruction as followers, that being to listen to Jesus, God's chosen. The call to listen is before each and every one of us. We are a people called to listen and to love. Throughout God's word and the story of God's people, God asks for his people to listen. In listening, we grow closer to God. When we listen, we offer to God our attention. We offer ourselves and also our openness, our willingness to be changed, to be transformed. Now, listening is, of course, something we do all the time. Sometimes if our hearing needs a bit of help, then we'll get a bit of assistance in that day. But we listen. We listen all day, day in, day out. We listen, we watch events around the world and locally. Just over a week ago, many people listened to and watched the hockey game between Canada and the U.S., listening perhaps more than once to the overtime goal. And then this past week, there was the provincial election, and people listened to the coverage or perhaps chose not to. It wasn't quite as exciting, I'd say, as the hockey game, depending on your perspective, of course. And then on Friday, south of the border, there was political news that was broadcast around the world, and the shouting that was painful to listen to. Now, on a lighter note, tonight on television, if you have nothing else to do, you can listen to the Oscars, you can watch. It will be broadcast across the world, and millions of people will tune in to listen and to watch. Every day, of course, there is lots to listen to. Sports, politics, entertainment, and on and on. Some stories fill us with joy. Some stories we just shake our heads at. Other stories make us laugh. Some stories make us angry. And beyond the big stories that make the news, there are stories from around the world and close to home that don't even make the front page, but that we should listen to. Stories that sometimes involve pain and suffering, but also of sharing and kindness and compassion and love. Stories of people that are listening and helping. There is never a shortage of stories that we can listen to. And today, here in church on Transfiguration Sunday, we are reminded of the importance of listening to the one whom we profess to follow, Jesus, God's chosen Son. Listen to him, God says. We are called to listen. Earlier in the season of Epiphany, back in January, we first heard the call to listen. The traditional story read at the beginning of the season of Epiphany is Jesus' baptism. And at the end of the season of Epiphany, we read the story of Jesus' transfiguration. At Jesus' baptism, a voice came from heaven, and it ends with a voice coming from heaven. And at Jesus' baptism, the voice spoke, saying, "You are my son," depending on your translation, "the beloved. With you I am well pleased." They are words of affirmation as Jesus began his public ministry. And now today, on the moment of transfiguration on the mountain there, that same voice speaks again, this time to Peter, James, and John, and says, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Listen to him. Only twice in the Gospels is God's voice recorded. Once at Jesus' baptism and once at his transfiguration. God speaks and calls us to listen to him, through his son, Jesus. And God calls us to listen to him this day and every day. This is the day to listen to him. I'm sure you've all heard the old expression, some people like it, some people don't, but we have two ears and one mouth, so we can listen twice as much as we speak. It's a saying that's old, attributed to Epictetus, who was a Greek Stoic philosopher who lived a long time ago. But I think the wisdom in his saying, whether we like it or not, it probably goes back even further, though, than him. Wisdom, though, is sometimes easier said than done. We know that for some, silence is golden, but for others, it's challenging, and we can't sit still because it's so quiet. Listening, though, is not simply refraining from talking or being quiet. Listening takes effort, and it really is intentional. We often say of people that aren't listening that they have selective hearing. And yes, that's true at times, but it's also at times selective listening. It can be a challenge to keep one's focus when listening. Our minds wander. I know my mind wanders easily and it's hard to focus. We flit from one thing that has to get done, something that's going to take place down the road in a few days, but it flits from this and from that. And we can't seem to keep our attention on any one thing for very long. And I would say, if we're honest with ourselves, that sometimes we listen, and we think we're listening, but we're listening with our own agenda. We nod our heads thinking, yep, but we're also thinking, well, what am I going to say next to what that person is saying? Or we pay attention if we agree, perhaps, with what is being said. But subtly or not so subtly, we inwardly perhaps roll our eyes if what that person is saying goes against what really we think. It is a challenge to listen, but listening well is so important. And listening well applies to our listening to God through Jesus. The most important relationship we have is our relationship with God through Jesus. The relationship we have with the one who invites us to walk with him, to talk with him, and to listen to him as he invites us into his mission to share God's love and God's blessing with the world. I would say Jesus was a good listener. Throughout the Gospels, we find Jesus spending time in prayer, in solitude, and in silence, listening to God, his Father. Jesus also took time to stop as he was walking to listen to people. Jesus was not in a rush. Jesus listened. There was a young group in a Sunday school class who did an awful lot of talking. Fortunately, they had a patient and understanding Sunday school teacher who did an awful lot of listening. One Sunday morning, they were reading from a red letter edition of the Bible, the red letters, the words spoken by Jesus, and one of the students asked, "Why is it that Jesus is so important when really there aren't that many red letters in the Bible?" After what seemed like an extraordinarily long pause, the teacher answered, "Well, I guess it's probably because Jesus listened an awful lot more than he talked." Today is Transfiguration Sunday, the story when we are invited to listen. It's recorded for us in today's version in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And we have those words, to listen. Now, prior to the story of the Transfiguration, Jesus has been busy listening to people, walking about, traveling all over Galilee, healing and casting out demons, preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God. We know that he calmed a storm in the middle of a lake. He raised a young girl from the dead. He sent out his apostles on their first mission trip. He fed 5,000 people or more. And the disciples witnessed all of these things. They watched and they listened. And then prior to today's story, we have Peter making his confession that Jesus is the Messiah of God, followed by Jesus bluntly telling his disciples to be prepared for what lay ahead. There would be suffering, there would be rejection, and there would be death. And then Jesus told his disciples to be prepared, following him, what that required of them. They were to deny themselves, to take up their cross daily. "Those who want to save their life will lose it," he said, "and those who lose their life for his sake will save it." And he told them, "There are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." Jesus knew what lay ahead for him. And then about 8 days after he said those words about what lay ahead, we have today's story. And as we shared with the children and as we read from God's word, the story begins with Peter, with John, and with James going up with Jesus on the mountain to pray, to listen. Only three disciples are mentioned going up with Jesus. Andrew and the rest of the 12 aren't with them. We don't know why. But we have the three disciples going with Jesus up on the mountain. And then without warning, quite unexpectedly, I'm sure, Jesus is changed, is transfigured before them. 1 minute, Jesus is standing there as normal can be, and the next they see their Messiah as they have never seen him before. The appearance of his face changes. Depending on the translation you read, it's described in a variety of ways. And in the version that I was using, his clothes become as bright as a flash of lightning. I'm sure you've all experienced that intensity of light in a summer storm when the whole sky is lit up in that flash of lightning. Or in the wintertime, that bright light from the sun that hits us when we're driving, especially in the winter off the white snow. The light is so bright that you can't see, really can't see what's coming. Well, Peter, John, and James certainly didn't see or anticipate what was coming. Up on the mountain, Jesus, bathed in this light, is joined by no less than Moses and Elijah, representatives of the Old Testament law for Moses and the prophets for Elijah. Men, of course, who had long ago departed the earth, and there they are, appearing before them. And Jesus begins to chat with them, visiting as if they are old friends, and they engage in conversation about his exodus, the passion events which are to come that would unfold in Jerusalem. Now, Peter, John, and James, depending again on your translation, fall asleep or just at the moment of falling asleep, or we've all experienced that watching TV or whatever, where we're dozing. They fall asleep or almost asleep. But Luke tells us that the disciples, though very sleepy, when they became fully awake, saw Jesus transfigured before them, standing there with Moses and Elijah. So now put yourselves in their shoes if you can. There's Peter, and John, and James. This man Jesus, who they have been with, who they have trusted, who they have been listening to, who they have said they are committed to following. All of a sudden, he's changed before their eyes. As I was saying to the children, I think they were amazed. They wondered. They couldn't understand. They probably looked dazed, not knowing what's going on. That certainly would be my reaction. Peter, we don't know how long the time frame is, but Peter recovers somewhat before the others. He sees Jesus like never before. And in his excitement after the awe, Peter says to Jesus, "Master, oh, it's so good that we are here. Let's set up 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Peter really wants this moment to last a while. He wants to enable this visit to last a while. How often do you get to visit with Moses and Elijah? But then suddenly, while Peter is talking, the cloud appears, covers them all, and from that cloud comes God's voice, which says, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him. Listen to him." Listen when Jesus tells us, "I have been anointed to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Listen to Jesus' words of comfort when he tells us it's time to go out on the water and to go deep into the waters of our faith, that we need not fear, for we are not alone, and that God will strengthen us. Listen to the challenging words of Jesus when he tells the crowds of hurting people, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." Listen when he challenges those of us who are not poor or hungry or grieving to know that they are rooted and planted, though, in the love of God. Listen when Jesus calls us to love even our enemies. Because this love is truly one of the hallmarks of those who follow Jesus. Listen to all that Jesus has to tell us. Listen. Listening really is where love begins. Listen this day, listen every day, and let that listening be at the heart of who we are and the hands of who we are, ready and open to change, to be transformed by that listening, our listening to God through Jesus. We know the story of the Transfiguration in the church calendar, comes just prior to the beginning of the season of Lent. This week, on Tuesday, we will mark Shrove Tuesday, often with the eating of pancakes, whether at a church or at home. And then on Wednesday, the season of Lent begins with Ash Wednesday. And today we're on the threshold then of the season of Lent, which is a 40-day period of drawing closer to God as we journey with Jesus to the cross. A 40-day period in which we are and should take time to listen. To listen to God, to read God's word, to spend time in prayer. To remember and reflect on Jesus' journey to the cross. During the season of Lent, we draw ever closer to the cross, day by day, week by week. But doing so is not easy, for it's not an easy journey. I know at times it would just be easier to forget about this part of the story and put all the suffering that comes with it out of our mind. We know that standing in the shadow of the cross, though, is what we are called to do, even though it's not easy. The disciples standing up there on the mountaintop with Jesus, with Moses, with Elijah, at that moment they're frozen in fear. They don't know what to do, and at times we can be frozen in fear as well. Not sure what to do, whether we're in the season of Lent or the season of Epiphany or whatever. We're just not sure what we should be doing. And that can happen to us as individuals and certainly as a church community. It is so easy to become overwhelmed by the challenges that lie each day and that lie ahead. In life, in a congregation, we don't know what we should do. But precisely at the time when the disciples didn't know what to do, what did God say to them? God said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." So the challenge is before us, both as individuals and as a church community, to take time, honestly, to remember our call to listen to our own hearts, our responses, our interactions, not to try to fit Jesus into that box, not to live with blinders on, to remember that we don't preach ourselves, but preach Jesus Christ as Lord. We need to listen to God. We often say, "Oh, I wish God would speak more clearly, more plainly, and then I would listen." Are we trying to tell God, though, what to do instead of listening? As we listen to God, we ask not for what we want, but for what God knows we need. The Transfiguration is a mystery. It's full of wonder. It is full of awe. But it contains that call to listen. And as we gaze on Jesus' face, as we listen, as we are doing that, we are drawn closer to him. We are drawn closer to his love, to his healing love, to his light, to all that we need in life. The love that changes everything. For listening truly is where love begins. Love that is the most excellent way and enables us this day and every day to offer our best to God. Jesus offers us words of comfort, words of challenge, but always it is to strengthen us to live God's way of grace this day and every day. So as we follow Jesus on this day, and as we leave this house of worship to continue living, we know that we do not go alone. The story of Jesus' transfiguration goes beyond that one day up there on the mountaintop and includes us today as we draw ever closer to God through Jesus as we listen to him. Our faith journey is a journey that lasts a lifetime, whether we are as young as the children who were here at the front of the sanctuary or wherever we are on our journey of life. Our faith continues. No matter what age we are, when we first heard the story, listened for the first time, and chose to follow, that's not where our journey ends, but our journey continues, for we are called to listen our whole life long. So remember this day, this Transfiguration Sunday, those events of Jesus' transfiguration. And remember those words, which are eternal. This is my son, my chosen, listen to him. As we prepare ourselves to begin the journey of Lent, let's not forget to take the time to intentionally listen, to read God's word, to study and reflect upon it, to hear what the Spirit is saying to us through God's word, to spend time in prayer, to listen to Jesus, who shows us that the gifts given to us, received from God, the gifts of grace and mercy and loving kindness, are the gifts that we are to be living. So listen carefully. Listen carefully to your loved ones, to hear the joys and the concerns of their hearts and the hearts of those in the community, and to listen to those you may have not been listening to before. The voices of those who may be different from you, that may hold a different perspective, but we should listen, for we are called to listen. Listening truly is where love begins, if we simply listen to him. Amen. In response to our sermon, as we affirm our faith as followers of Jesus Christ, I invite you to follow along with the affirmation of faith, and you will find the words on the screen. And the words today come from Living Faith, and you can find them in chapter 3.2, Jesus Christ, truly God. God became human and dwelt among us. In silence we ponder, in awe we confess this amazing truth. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, the eternal Son of God humbled himself to be one with us. To Israel and to the world came God in Christ. God's nature is expressed in Jesus, the very Word of God. Through him were all things made. His life is the light of the world. We give thanks to God. We praise God's name in worship and gratitude to God for all of his blessings. Let us now bless to him a portion of all that we have received as we present our tithes and our offerings. Your offerings will be received.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of grace, you provide for us in amazing ways. You give us life and bless us in Christ with new life. Accept these, our tithes and offerings, as signs of our gratitude, and bless them to further Christ's ministry and mission here in this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As people of God who follow Jesus, who prayed and listened, we too take time to pray, to listen. We pray in word, but also in silence. We lift up words of thanksgiving and then words of intercession for the many concerns around the world and some close to home. So let us join together, united in prayer, as we lift up our prayers of the people. O most holy God, we do thank you this day. We thank you for this day, for the blessings of this day. You bless us with so much, with your presence, your love. You created a beautiful world. On this wintry yet cold day, we thank you for the beauty that is winter, even with a fresh blanket of snow. Though the winter at times can seem so long and the cold sure goes deep, help us to see that there is beauty in the season and that there is joy. Joy that we can see on the faces of children as they play in the snow and enjoy the winter. There is much to enjoy in the beauty of your creation. So as we draw ever closer to spring and the growing season which lies ahead for many that are planting their seedlings, we are grateful for the snow which protects the ground, and for the rain that also comes to bring moisture to the ground. We have much to be thankful in your gracious gifts. So for all of these gifts, we say thank you. O most holy God, as we say thank you for the gifts of this time of year, we also take a moment to thank you for the gift of light this day. We know day by day that daylight is increasing this time of year, and we are thankful. We are thankful that we have the gift of light. Help us to not take this gift of light for granted. And on this Transfiguration Sunday, help us to live the light of Christ in all that we do, the light that guides us and is with us through the day and through the night in all of life. So may our lives reflect the light of Christ as we share his light of compassion and love and care. O most holy God, it is this coming Wednesday that the season of Lent begins, and so we pray that during this upcoming season of Lent, as we remember Jesus' suffering and death and his great love for us, that we pray that we will remember to take time each day to turn to you, to draw closer to you by taking time to pray, to reflect, to listen. O most holy God, hear us now as we turn from prayers of thanksgiving to prayers of intercession, prayers for your world, for your children. Hear our prayers this day for all around the world who fear the hands of oppression, who long for lasting peace in their land so that they can raise their children without fear. So we pray for lasting peace and for justice in all areas of war and conflict, and we remember in prayer the people of Ukraine and Palestine, Myanmar, Haiti, Sudan, so many other places. But we lift up the prayer for peace and justice, and we say, hear the cries of your people, we pray. O most holy God, here in Canada, we lift up prayers for the families of Morgan Harris and Mercedes Myron, the two First Nations women who were killed and whose bodies were dumped at the Prairie Green landfill site north of Winnipeg. The waiting, the knowing, and the unknown, and the pain associated with the racism spoken and acted out by so many has and continues to be heartbreaking. So we pray for them, for their families, for friends, for communities who have experienced such tremendous loss and whose grief continues. We pray for the family of the woman known as Buffalo Woman, who is unidentified. We also pray for all families who do not know where their loved ones are. And so we continue our prayers for the families whose loved ones are in unmarked sites at residential schools across the country. We pray for justice so that loved ones may be brought home to rest in peace. We pray for continued courage and strength for the families during this time of waiting, waiting that has gone on far too long because people refused to listen. Hear the cries of your people, we pray. O most holy God, as we pray for our sisters and brothers around the world, closer to home, for all whose grief is long, we continue in prayer this day for all in this community who are in the midst of a time of loss. We first pray for all who are fearful about their future or the future of a loved one as they await medical tests or continue treatments or just are unsure of their health. Surround each one with your strength, we pray. Grant them courage during this time of uncertainty. We also pray for all who are grieving the loss of a loved one this day, whether the loss is recent, and for all for whom grief was long ago, but the pain remains so ever present. Be with each person, we pray. Be with each person weighed down with sorrow. Be with them through the day and through the night. Sustain them with your hope and your peace, we pray, for it is your peace that passes all understanding. O most holy God, there is much pain and uncertainty in the world, so many people in need. It can seem so overwhelming at times. Teach us, though, we pray, to listen. Teach us to pray with compassion, to pray with purpose, to pray for justice, to pray for peace, to pray for mercy, to pray for grace to be offered in humility. Help us to pray for the day when all life is respected and no one is forgotten. O most holy God, hear us now as we continue in prayer in silence. O most holy God, pour out your grace upon all named and word and named from the silence of our hearts. Hear these, our prayers which are offered in the precious and loving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray together using his words, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn as we prepare to leave God's house and to go back into the world to serve is number 704 in your book of praise, or the words up on the screen, Teach Me, God, to Wonder. Thank you. Praise to you be given, love for you be lived, life be celebrated, joy you give. The Lord our God called us to worship this day, and now we go forth from worship in wonder and in praise. So let us go forth ready to listen to God amid the noise of everyday life, and let us be open to letting the transforming power of God's love guide us in all that we do. So as we go forth, we do so with the assurance that the love of God will surround us, the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ will attend us, and the comfort and the strength of the Holy Spirit will sustain us now and forevermore. So we go forth in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen.